Glad to see each one that's gathered with us at the Gospel Service tonight. We thank you for coming along to our evening Gospel meeting. We're going to sing the words of the hymn 380 as we commence the service tonight. Lovely words, challenging words that were penned by the Lord's servant, the Reverend Robert Murray McShane. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. So 380, please, we'll stand together as we sing.
We're just going to bow together in prayer. We'll seek the Lord's face. We appreciate and value your prayers. We encourage you to pray even from your heart. The Lord will help the preacher. The Lord will bless the meeting. And that the Lord will bless your heart and even save in the service tonight. Father, we do praise thee for the place of prayer. We're glad of the opportunity just to be able to seek thee. The prophet said, it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us. And Lord, we pray, give us that burden, that desire. Give us a greater burden, a greater desire to seek thee. We pray, Father, for persistence at the throne of grace. Save us from fainting. Your word reminds us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And Lord, we thank you for the matchless privilege that we are able to come right into your presence, come before thee, approach the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. We're conscious tonight, Father, that we cannot come in any merit of our own. We come to thee trusting completely in Christ, the one who is the mediator of the new covenant, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we claim that blood and we rejoice in the knowledge that the blood of Christ is in heaven and the blood speaks for us. Your word tells us that it speaketh better things than that of Abel's. We rejoice too to know that our Savior is seated there at thy right hand, the man in the glory. And we thank you for the knowledge that he ever lives to make intercession for us as his people. Father, what a blessing for us just to consider tonight that our Savior is praying for us. We remember those words that he spoke to Peter, I have prayed for thee. And Lord, may that challenge us even to pray for others also. We pray that you'll lay those upon our hearts that you would want us to plead with thee for, to seek thee for. We plead for each one in the meeting tonight. Thank you for our brethren and sisters. Remember that the New Testament church, it says of Peter and John, they went to their own company. Lord, we're glad that we are found tonight in our own company. We thank you for the company of God's people. Pray that you'll add to this company. Lord, we want to pray that this work will advance. Pray that it will grow. We pray for the blessing of God to be evident upon it. We pray, Father, that you'll give us fruit for the preaching of your word, the proclamation of the gospel. Pray that this will be a fruitful year in the witness of this church. We pray it will be a year of salvation, a year of restoration. Those that have grown cold, that they'll be restored to fellowship again with thyself. And we're praying, Father, that even in the service tonight, that there will be fruit in this meeting. We want to ask, Lord, especially save souls. Save a soul in this gospel service. We pray that you'd speak through your word even to that end. And Lord, we acknowledge the blessings of this past week. Thank you for the service last Sabbath evening, for all that were gathered, and our sister in the word of testimony, and how you spoke to hearts. Thank you for Wednesday night and our brother with us to tell of the call of God. Lord, we praise thee that you're working in hearts, working in the hearts of young people, calling them into your work, calling them into the service of Christ, calling them to the mission field. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of that meeting. Remember our brother Glenn and his wife and family in these months of preparation as they're preparing to go to Kenya to serve thee. Lord, we rejoice that it has pleased thee to call new laborers for that land. We think of the need, even as the Pattersons draw near to retirement, bless them in these final weeks of their labours there in that land too. We thank you, Father, for Friday night here and the young people that were present. We rejoice to see the young people gathered in your house from various congregations round about. Praise thee for your presence, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit that was in that meeting. help given to the young people to seek thee. Lord, we pray for a generation of young people in our land that knows God and that walks with God. We pray for such a generation again in our own denomination. We're conscious, Father, of the need of the hour, even as we face the future. I want to thank you, Father, for this anniversary Sunday, the 73rd anniversary of the founding of this denomination. Lord, we acknowledge your mercy, your providence that brought it into being. We thank you for how you've used the denomination, not just in this province, but even all across the earth. And Lord, we're conscious at this hour that we need a touch from God. We remember the revival days that brought this denomination into being, the revival days even in the 60s when the work was growing and advancing. And yet, Father, we're found in days when the tide has gone out. And we cry to thee for a turning of the tide and a turning of the hearts. We pray for the evident blessing of God upon the gospel witness, not just in our own denomination, but in every faithful church and denomination across this province. And Lord, at this anniversary time as well, we think of the needs of the college. Thank you for our brother that was here this morning, the blessing that his ministry was, the help that was given to him. Lord, we rejoice in his obedience to the call of God, and we recognize the need of others to come and study in the Bible College as we think of the future and ministers that growing older, drawing near to retirement, churches that will be vacant. Oh God, we ask thee to hear our cries. Look down upon us in mercy. You're the God that supplies our every need. And Lord, we're in need of laborers. Our congregations as well are in need of laborers. We ask thee to send them to us even at this time. We thank you too, Father, for the memory of your servant St. Patrick and how you called him to this land. We've been thinking already of the missionaries that you're preparing in the day in which we're found. And we thank you that he was a missionary of a former time, left the land of his birth, the land of his nativity, came across the seas to this island, and was mightily used in the founding of churches all across the land and in the winning of souls. And oh God, we would pray, send such a man, send such men to us even again. Lord, send a band of men that fear God, a band of men anointed with thy spirit, with a love for souls and a passion to reach the souls even of this generation. We remember that it says of David that after he had served his own generation, he fell in sleep. And oh God, we ask that you'll help us even in the difficult, challenging, dark and wicked, discouraging days in which we're found. Help us to be faithful to the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel. We pray that you'll anoint us, Father, and we'll go forth in your name and in your power. We ask, Father, that you'll use us personally, use us as a church. We think of the great need of a faithful, separated gospel witness in this city, especially a city steeped, Father, in Romanism and ecumenism. And we pray that there'll be some, Father, even in this day, that will obey the call of the Scriptures, the call to separation, the call to come outside the camp, to separate from among them, or to be ye separate, saith the Lord. Father, hear our cries, and we look out into this new week asking that you'll go before us, every difficulty, every challenge, every obstacle, that as it was for Israel at the Red Sea, that you'll open the way and that you'll roll the seas away. We ask thee, Father, to remember next Sabbath evening, especially the parents' night. Remember the boys and girls, the final preparations in the bright hours. Lord, bring in many family members. Bring in many friends. We pray, Father, for a good congregation to be gathered. We pray that your house will be filled. We pray there will be a stillness, the presence of Christ. Help given to our brother McConnell as he will come to speak. Guide him this week and give him the right word, even from yourself. So, Lord, we spread all these matters out now before thee, asking you'll come and abide with us and guide us through the meeting now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 370, please. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. So 370, we'll keep our seats. We'll ask the ladies to sing the second verse, the men will join the chorus, and then the men will try the third verse, and the ladies will join us in the chorus, and then we'll all sing the first and the last verses together. So 370, keeping our seats, please. Thank you. You're singing very well. We're turning in the scriptures tonight to the Gospel of John, the New Testament scriptures, the fourth book, John chapter 4. We're going to read together a little of the story of the woman at the well, the meeting that she had with the Savior that day that became the day of her salvation. John chapter 4, we'll begin at the first verse. May the Lord bless our hearts tonight, the reading of his word. John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. We're going to close our reading there this evening. The end of that 30th verse. And we pray the Lord will write upon every heart. That's the public reading of his word. I want to welcome you all to our evening gospel service. We thank you for coming, especially if you're visiting with us in the meeting tonight. We're thankful for your presence. It's good to see the children and young people who are present with us tonight as well. It's a blessing to have you in the meeting. And we also welcome those who are watching the service tonight on the live stream. Remember that today is St. Patrick's Day, known as the patron saint of Ireland. Remember that Patrick was a true believer in Christ. We wrote a little gospel tract to tell that story a few years ago. Patrick came and put his trust in Christ as his Saviour. Some of the documents that remain to this day, his confession, tell the story in his own language of how he came to know the Saviour. Remember that he was a missionary. We have the missionary emphasis, the missionary vision, and he had that those 1,500 years ago and more when he left his own land, sailed across the seas in days when travel would have been much more difficult, and came to this land, came to this island, came even to this community, this city, in the preaching of the gospel. So we thank the Lord for his influence upon this island as a whole. We thank the Lord for the reminders of his influence and his labours to this very day. There's a lot of confusion, sadly, about St. Patrick, but we pray the Lord will raise up many others like him in the day in which we're found. Remember, too, that this is also the 73rd anniversary of the founding of our denomination. In 1951, the 17th of March fell upon a Saturday. So that was the day when the denomination was officially founded or constituted. And we thank the Lord for that day and all that has been accomplished. We acknowledge that we're in need of a move of God. We need the Lord to come by his Spirit, send us revival. Take that upon your heart. May the Lord give us a burden to seek him for it. And may it please him to give us again the revival days that our founding fathers knew and enjoyed. Tomorrow is a bank holiday for St. Patrick's Day. Just remind you again that the parent and toddler group that would normally meet in the morning in the ladies' fellowship, whose meeting would have been tomorrow evening, both have been moved to next Monday. That is the 25th of March. So please do take note of that, note of those changes, and remind others that would come along to those meetings that they have been moved back for a week. Tuesday at 6:45, both the children's bright hours. Remember, the season is drawing quickly to a close. The last meetings of the season taking place this week. So encourage all the children to be present for those meetings. And then remember Wednesday night, the midweek service, the prayer meeting, how vital that is. Prayer meeting of the church downstairs in the hall at 8 p.m. And God willing, I'll be the speaker myself. 8 o'clock on Friday is the youth fellowship. It's a home meeting. And our young brother, Daniel Soden, will be the speaker. So we do invite and encourage all the young people of the church to come along to hear Daniel speak on Friday night. We do thank the young people for their faithful support of those meetings. We thank them for their faithful support of the prayer meeting on Friday night, the zone prayer meeting that the Youth Council arranges for each area of the province twice a year. It was encouraging to have a very nice number of our young people present. We thank the ladies that helped with the refreshments for the young people on Friday night. We thank the men that did the media desk as well, and our brother who prepared and set up the church and the hall. We want you to know that all of your work was a great help and much appreciated by us. Next Saturday, the 23rd, there is a church cleanup. We'd like to do a little bit of work just before Easter. We'll be meeting here at the church from 9:30. So any time from 9:30 on. We encourage as many as possible to come along and help with that work. A few other churches in the denomination have been doing the same. Just during this month, you may have noticed a few pictures that some of the churches have put up on Facebook of the work that they have been doing. So remember, please, to clean up next Saturday morning. Then next Lord's Day, the 24th of March, 10:40, the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30, the morning meeting. I'll be the preacher at that meeting. And then 6:30 in the evening is the parents' night for both of the children's bright hours. The children will take part, bring their little programs to us. Our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell, a children's evangelist working here in the province, under our mission board, will be the speaker. There is to be supper for everyone afterwards, so we ask the ladies if you can help us with the food for the supper, please. And we encourage you to come, invite your family and friends. It's always a special night that we look forward to. And please remember the seasons of prayer, half an hour before both meetings. Monday week, the 25th, at 7:30, is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church. That'll be in the minister's room. The building and vehicle appeal for Uganda, the committee is going to keep that open for a few more weeks. So if you would still like to give to it, if you haven't had opportunity to do so, that extension will give you just the time to be able to make a donation. So please do so as soon as possible. And any gifts for that appeal, mark the envelope for the Uganda building and vehicle appeal. Our brother Glenn Hamilton from the Ballymena Church was with us on Wednesday night, an outgoing missionary to Kenya. We had a very good meeting with our brother Glenn. We thank all that came. There was a very encouraging turnout at the prayer meeting. There are copies of his prayer card available in the porch for those who didn't get one on Wednesday night. Remember that he had just a very limited supply of those prayer cards at the meeting on Wednesday nights. So remember to get your copy of the prayer card as you go from the service. The first aid training for leaders and workers, that's a refresher course. It's going to be held on two Saturdays in April, the 20th and the 27th, from 9 o'clock in the morning. The cost of that will be paid for by the church committee. Do put your name down on the sheet. At least one of the workers or leaders from each of the departments of the church we asked to do the course. There is scope there for more than one. We can take maybe up to 15 or so on the course. So if you're interested in doing that, please put your name down on the sheet there in the porch as soon as possible. The Market Hill Church asked us to announce that this Friday night, between 6:30 and 9, they're having another pudding night. They did the same last year to raise funds for missionary work. It's going to be in their church hall, and all proceeds will go to the Uganda Building and Vehicle Appeal. So if you're able to go along and give your support to that, I know they would appreciate it, even if you'd like to go along just for a time of fellowship with the Lord's people there in Market Hill. Just those that are not well, we're glad that Mrs. Gillespie is home. She got home from hospital on Friday afternoon. So we're glad that prayer has been answered for our sister. Pray the Lord will keep his good hand upon her. And our brother David Castles is still in hospital, been kept in over the weekend. He's waiting on a scan. So do remember David, and remember that scan in your prayers as well. 286, please. I believe those are all the announced ones. 286, just two verses. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Verses 1 and 3, the hymn 286, will stand as we sing, please. Let's just pray together briefly, please. Father, we thank thee for all of these activities and meetings of the church. We rejoice in every outreach of this congregation. We thank you for every worker, every leader and laborer. We commit the meetings and we commit our people into your hands. We know, Father, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We acknowledge freely that we need your help and blessing. And we bring, Father, all of these things that have been announced, all the activities before thee, and praying for the Lord's prospering hand to be upon them. We thank you for what we've just been singing about, the power in the Saviour's blood. And Lord, we pray that there'll be one in the meeting tonight, one listening to this broadcast, that will experience the power of Christ's blood cleansing them tonight. From every stain. Give us help now. May the power of God rest upon the preaching. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 4, please, the fourth verse is our text tonight. Just a short verse of scripture. And he, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he must needs go through Samaria. I want to ask you a question at the outset of the message tonight, the gospel message. And the question I want you to consider is the theme of our Bible study, of our message tonight. And the question is, why are you in this meeting? Why are you here in this church service on this Sabbath evening? Maybe you've been wondering that yourself. Why is it on this night? At this hour, at this time, why are you here in this building, gathered with the congregation, attending and participating in this gospel service? I want you to think of that. Why are you here tonight? There may be various answers that you would give to that question. Perhaps you would say this evening you wanted to see inside the church. You wanted to see what the service would be like. Maybe you wanted to hear the minister speak and preach the gospel. Perhaps you're here to please someone because they asked you, they invited you, maybe even pleaded with you, asked you several times to come along to the meetings until you gave in and consented and attended the gospel meeting. So from your standpoint this evening, There may be all sorts of reasons why you're here in this service. But let me tell you, let me emphasize to you all the real reason that you're here tonight. And it is this. You're here to meet with Jesus Christ. You take this woman in the passage, John 4, that is before us. You think of her for an example. Why was she at the well that day? Remember, a historic well in Israel, Jacob's well. Why was she at the well that day, at that hour? Remember, it was the sixth hour. That is equivalent to 12 noon. She was there at the hottest time, the hottest part of the day. So why was she there? Again, she could give all sorts of reasons. She was there because she was thirsty. She was there because she needed water to draw from the well. She was there because she couldn't come at any other time. Remember, she couldn't come at the proper time. Normally, properly, generally, they came to draw a well in the evening as the day drew near to a close. So she couldn't come at the proper time because no one else in the city or the community wanted anything to do with her. So there's all sorts of reasons that could be suggested. But again, men and women, none of those are the real reason why she was at the well that day. The real reason is in our text. He must needs go through Samaria. What that means is she was there that day because the Savior had planned it. He had ordered in his providence. He had ordered the events of that day, every detail of those events, so that their paths would cross and so that the Lord Jesus would meet that woman that day at the well. So men and women, that is the real reason why you're here this evening. It's because Jesus Christ brought you here. By his Spirit, he drew you into this church building and he led you to this church service. It's not a solemn thought to think that his hand has been upon your life tonight to guide your footsteps to the house of God. Of course, as you think of that, you will want to know, well, why has the Lord Jesus brought me here tonight? And there's at least three answers to that question. And I want to give them to you very quickly tonight. So why did the Lord bring you here to this gospel meeting tonight? Well, for one thing, he's seeking for you. Look at the end of verse 23. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Let me emphasize to you that God is seeking sinners. I want you to see that tonight, brethren and sisters. That has been the case from the Garden of Eden. That has been the case right from the fall of man into sin. Remember, just after the fall, when Adam and Eve hid themselves among the trees of the garden, that the Lord came with that question, "Where art thou?" God came seeking for man, came seeking for Adam and Eve. So God is seeking sinners. And the one that the Father has sent to seek for sinners is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of the New Testament. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So I impress upon your hearts this evening, men and women, Jesus Christ is a seeking Savior. What a blessed truth that is. You're not seeking for him. The book of Romans reminds us that there's none. Just get the force of that tonight. There's none that seeketh after God. So you're not seeking for him. He's the one that is in love and mercy seeking for you. And that is what he was doing that day in Samaria. He was seeking for a sinner. The Lord Jesus was at the well that day because he was seeking for this woman. And that is the same reason that the Lord Jesus brought you here to this gospel meeting. Because he's looking for you tonight. It's not a tremendous thought. The Lord Jesus brought you here because he's seeking, he's looking for you. You will ask, Why is he looking for me? Well, the simple answer is because you're lost. You think of a child that is lost, and the parents are out earnestly, frantically, looking, seeking for that child that is lost. Well, you're lost. Remember that Luke said, he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's a description of all mankind, lost in sin. Isaiah the prophet put it like this, all we like sheep have gone astray. Do you see the breadth of that? There is none that is excluded. All we like sheep have gone astray. You have wandered, and you've wandered away from God. You've wandered far away from God, and you're lost. That was the condition of this Samaritan woman. That's the condition that she was in. She was lost in her sins. Truly, she was lost in her sins. Her life was just a hopeless mess. Several times, she was an adulteress, now living in sin, unmarried, with a sixth man in her life. Truly, she was lost in her sins. Just to emphasize to you, point out, those who would like to study the passage a little further, something to pick up on is the sixths in the chapter. Read down the chapter and look for them. The sixth hour, that's the time the Savior met this lady. The sixth man that was found in her life. That's something just to note. So here's a woman, and her life was a hopeless mess. There's not a doubt she was lost, lost in sin. But Jesus Christ came that day to Samaria to find her. He came that day to the well to seek for the sheep that had gone astray. But I want to emphasize in the meeting tonight that you're lost, you that are out of Christ. You're lost as well, lost in your sin. And you have the grave danger of facing a lost eternity, being lost forever and ever. And I want to urge you just to take that in tonight. But the good news, men and women, and remember that the word gospel means good news. The good news this evening is that Jesus Christ is looking for lost souls. And he's looking, he's seeking for you in this very gospel service. So that's one of the reasons why you're here tonight, why the Lord has directed your footsteps to this meeting. Another reason why you're here, not just because he's seeking for you, but because he wants to speak to you. You think of what the Savior said to Simon the Pharisee, I have somewhat to say to thee. What the Lord wanted to say to Simon that day was about another very sinful woman. Take the time to read the context of those words. And the Savior went to Samaria, to that well, because he had something to say to this woman, something vital. He wanted to speak to her about two great truths. The two great truths were sin and salvation. Remember, those are the two great themes of the Bible. Think of John Newton, the slave trader converted to become a preacher and a hymn writer. The words of his testimony, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. As an old man, nearing the end of the journey, his memory started to fade. It wasn't just as good. And he said one day, my memory is fading, but there are two things that I remember. I am a great sinner, and he is a great Savior. And those are the two themes that the Savior spoke to this woman about, sin and salvation. This woman was a scarlet sinner, a deep-dyed sinner. But carefully and tactfully, the Savior spoke to her, and he made her face up to her sin. He made her face up to her immorality. He told her all that ever she had done. That was her own testimony of how Christ dealt with her that day. Can I remind you, brethren and sisters, tonight that Jesus Christ is the master soul winner. We're to be soul winners, to be fishers of men. But he's the pattern. He's the example. You should study and learn from the Lord Jesus. We want to become more like Christ. And we should become more like Christ in our passion, our love, in the manner that we deal, the loving, tender manner that we deal with souls. So read the great interviews. John 3, John 4, and so on, where the Lord Jesus dealt with souls. And as you do that, you'll learn to become a soul winner too. So he made her face up to her sin. And as he did that, this lady tried to change the subject. She would talk about anything except for her life and except for her sin. Can I say to you tonight, if you're lost, don't be like this woman. I urge you to face up to your past life, your past sin. Face up tonight to the life that you're living. Acknowledge the truth about yourself. Confess and acknowledge that before the Lord. Because it is only when you see how sinful you are, it's only then that you will see how much you need God's salvation. So the Lord Jesus spoke to her about her sin, and then he spoke to her about salvation. In verse 22, he said, salvation is of the Jews. Jonah said, salvation's of the Lord. From beginning to end, it's of the Lord. But the Lord used the Jewish people in order to bring salvation to this sinful world of ours. He also said in verse 10 of the chapter, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What the Lord Jesus told the woman there was that salvation was hers for the asking. Thou would have asked of me, or asked of him, and I would have given thee living waters. So men and women, I plead with you tonight. Ask him. Ask Christ. He's the only one that can save you. We'll emphasize that in a moment or two. Don't be asking any religious leader. Doesn't matter who they are. We can only point you from the scriptures to the one who can save you. So I plead with you tonight. Ask him. Ask Christ to save your soul. That's all that you have to do. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, cry out in prayer and ask him for mercy and for salvation. But this woman, she began to debate religion. If you look at the 20th verse, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She wanted to talk and debate about religion. Isn't that so familiar? Especially in this province in which we live, all people want to talk about is religion. But you know what his answer was to all her religious talk and all her religious questions? It was to reveal himself. Look at that tremendous statement in verse 26. I that speak unto thee am he. The lesson, men and women, is it's not religion that saves. It's Christ. Salvation is not to be found in any religion. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how old it is. It doesn't matter how many practice it or follow it. Salvation is to be found in a person, and only in one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Peter preaching in Jerusalem, Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no one else. Doesn't matter who they are. There's no one else that can give you the blessing of salvation. There's no one else that can save you from your sins. There's no one else that can pardon and forgive all of your sins and wash them away except for Christ by his finished work and by the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. You remember what is said of the Mount of Transfiguration, that there was none that was seen save Jesus only. And that's the message, men and women. Jesus only. He's the only Savior, the only one that can save you from a lost eternity. So he wants to speak to you tonight. He wants to speak to you in this meeting, speak to you from his word. He wants to speak to you about salvation, about the salvation of your soul. Will you let him do that as you sit in the gospel service tonight? The final thing I'll emphasize, why are you here in the meeting? He's seeking for you. He wants to speak to you. but he wants to save you. If you look at verse 42, the end of the verse, the Lord Jesus is described as the Savior of the world. He's not just a seeker and a speaker, but thank God he's also a Savior. And he is the Savior, the one who saves, the one who rescues, delivers sinners from hell and from a lost eternity. He's described in that verse as the Savior of the world, not just the Savior of Israel, the Savior of the Jews. That's the mistake that Nicodemus made in the previous chapter. That's why the Lord Jesus uttered that tremendous statement to him, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That would have startled Nicodemus. He knew that God loved the Jews. But God loved the world. He's the Savior of the world. Not just the Savior of the Jewish people. He's the Savior of people from every nation under heaven. Remember, the book of the Revelation says that in heaven there's going to be people of every nation, every tribe, every kindred, and every people. He's the Savior of the world. This woman wasn't a Jew. She was a Samaritan. They were the enemies of the Jews. But Christ saved her. He saved this Samaritan woman. He saved her from the depth of her sin. And he transformed her life. We sometimes sing the hymn, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought." I'm sure she was thinking that. That was the thought in her heart and mind as she walked away from the well that day. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. He transformed that woman's life completely. And whatever your nationality tonight, whatever your background may be, he can save you too. We want you to know that. We want you to be clear about that fact. You may ask, how do I get saved? Well, the answer of the Bible is by faith. Faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In that 42nd verse, the men of that area, the men of that community said to this woman, "Now we believe." So the idea is she had trusted Christ and they had just done the same. They had come and put their faith in him also. So the message of the passage is salvation is by faith, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As Paul said to the jailer in Philippi, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." In other words, trust him. There's another old gospel hymn we love to sing. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. That's the time you need to do it. Because remember that there's no guarantee of tomorrow. And if you trust Christ, he'll save you. There's not a doubt about it. "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." What an assurance that is. If you come to Christ, he'll not refuse you. He'll not turn you away. He will receive you, and he will save you tonight. And I want to urge you to do that. Do it now, before you leave the gospel service. Remember, if he could save this woman, if Jesus Christ could save the woman of Sychar's well, a notorious sinner, then he can save you too, whoever you may be. Paul said to Timothy, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Imagine the chief of sinners, the greatest sinner, saved. The chief of sinners saved. Well, if that describes you tonight, then there's hope for you, whoever you are. If you're described by those words, the chief of sinners, and God can save the chief of sinners, then there's salvation for you tonight as well. So why are you here? Why are you in this gospel service? On this Sabbath night, in the middle of the month of March 2024, well, Jesus Christ has brought you here. He did it by his power, his control of providence. He did it by his Spirit. He led you and drew you to this house of God because he's seeking for you. He's looking for you, a lost soul, a lost sinner. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you from his word about the need of your soul, the sin in your heart and life that will take you to a lost eternity, but the good news that there's salvation for all that will come to Christ. And remember, he wants to save you. What a blessing that would be to us if you were to be saved or you went from this meeting this evening. I mentioned to you just as I finish, we're all familiar with the Christian Institute. In the will of the Lord, in the month of June, Callum Webster, the Northern Ireland representative of the Christian Institute, will be with us to make an update, a presentation. Just on Wednesday, Colin Hart. Colin was the founder of the Christian Institute and the director of that great work that has been so influential, so used of God. Just on Wednesday afternoon, Colin died very unexpectedly, just 60 years of age. Took on well, and in a very short space of time, gone from this world and gone from this life. What a warning that is. I ask you to remember the Christian Institute at this time. They need our prayers. It will be a time of great sadness for them, a time of great change. In some senses, a time of great upheaval. So pray the Lord will keep his hand upon that work that our brother founded, the vision that he had. Guide them at this time and give them wisdom. But what a warning that is, men and women. We're glad tonight that Colin was saved. There was a day when Christ sought for him and spoke to him, a day that he was saved. He was ready when the call came, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. You know, this day last week he was in the house of God. This day last week he never anticipated that on this Sabbath he would be in the Father's house of many mansions. You don't know what the week will bring. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. None of us knows. We hope to be in the will of God, but it's only in his will. We hope to be here again next Sabbath for those meetings that we announced a little earlier. But it impresses upon us, men and women, the great urgency to know that you're saved, to know that you're ready, to know that it's well with you, well with your soul. Know that your trust is in Christ and you have the assurance of his salvation. He's seeking for you, speaking to you. He wants to save you. Will you let him do that tonight before you leave the house of God and go from this gospel meeting? If you do speak with us after the meeting's over, we'll only be too happy to take the time to talk with you a little further about the issues of your soul. We're going to sing a verse or two of Charlotte Elliott's great hymn of invitation, 289, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come." We'll just sing the first two verses. "Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come." We urge you to come to Christ tonight. So the first two verses just of 289 will stand to sing, please. Let's just pray together. We thank you, Father, for the gathering. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Spirit in the meeting. We've known the Lord to be here. We thank you for your word. We praise thee, Father, for the good news that we have to proclaim. We thank you for one that loved us, died in our place. You've assured us that it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We want to ask, Lord, save as a result of this meeting, this service. We want to pray that there'll be some that will come to Jesus Christ, come to him for salvation. Here, these are cries. The Lord bless all that has been done tonight in this meeting. Prosper the cause of Christ and his gospel. We thank, Father, of what you did there in Samaria those many years ago, even through the salvation of that woman, how that many others came to receive Christ as their Savior also. And we remember, Father, you're the same God. And we ask thee to do that again in this city of Armagh. We pray that you'll save the chief of sinners in this city. And Lord, even through them as a trophy of grace and their testimony of God's mercy and salvation, we pray that others too in this community will come to trust Christ also. Lord, answer these our earnest cries, and we commit ourselves to thee as we leave the house of God. And we ask that unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, our Saviour, be honour and glory, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.